Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Hey, thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd. Today we're heading up to Waterloo. We're going to be visiting with Diane Dittner from Diane and the Cavaliers, or for some of the older listeners, it would be Diane and the Country Cavaliers. I've known Diane for at least 25 years and have played in her band as her guitar and fiddle player. She's in her 53rd year of playing music professionally. As you can imagine, she's done so many different things, as well as dances, weddings, and legions. She's played barn dances, talent shows, parades, and she's organized bus trips to Nashville and other places down in the States. There's a lot to cover, so let's check in with Diane. All right, we're sitting here in Waterloo with Diane Dittner. So this is a real pleasure to be sitting and talking to you.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I'm happy to do the interview.
That's great. Like, you're already in your 53rd year of performing.
Right. That's right.
So there's a lot of stuff I don't know, so I'm really excited to have you on the show. So today's episode, we're going to kind of cover the early years, and then later episodes we'll cover the more current stuff. So why don't you start off with where you're from and how you got your start in music?
Yes, Steve, I was born in Seaforth, Ontario. I grew up from 1 to 10 years old, or from baby to 10 years old, yep, in Dublin, Ontario, right on Number 8 Highway. And then from age 10 to 17, I grew up in Broadhagen.
Okay. Wow.
And attended the Mitchell District High School. And I have two sisters and a brother, and I'm second oldest, an older sister. My brother's younger than me, and then a younger sister.
Okay. So. Why don't you talk a little bit about how you got started with music, too?
Okay, actually, my godmother, she had her own band, and she played in a band. And my great-grandfather, her father, played with her. He okay. played the violin, she played the piano. And anyway, that always stuck in my mind, and I spent a lot of time with her when I was maybe 5 years old. And then my mother was the influence in getting me into music. She played, both her and my father played a lap steel, like a dobro guitar.
Yep. Right?
And I heard my mother playing. She wouldn't bring it out often, but I heard her playing one day, and she was upstairs. I snuck up, and I listened to her, and I kind of watched her. So then when she put the guitar away under the bed and went downstairs, I snuck up and got the guitar.
Okay,
and great. I started singing what she was, and I was yep. changing the chords. So at that time, she felt that I knew enough of music to know when to change the chords in a song. There just happened to be Henry Pulsifer. He was a guitar teacher, and he came into Broadhagen Community Center, and he was starting to teach, and that's like in 61, 62.
Wow, okay.
So she signed me up, and I think it was good that she listened at first, because at that time your hard-earned money going to music lessons. They didn't
oh, yeah.
want to be spending money that I might
yep.
not. But I only lasted three quarters of a year. Because they wanted to teach me how to play the tunes by music rather than by ear, and I just wanted to sing and play. So I went out and bought every magazine with a guitar player in and musicians, and I watched where their fingers were, and then I started doing my own.
Good for you, okay.
So that's how that started.
Yep.
It was just all from my mother saying, you know.
Yep. Just buying records and trying to learn, or just listening off the radio?
Yeah,
and
taught myself. And
good
then
for you.
My brother Robert, who played the steel, he still plays the steel with
yep.
us. He started around the same time. And what happened is when I started playing and singing, we used to watch his kids, Circle 8 Ranch, Carl Smith's show, Western Roundup. Those were all little TV, black and white
okay,
TV
great.
Programs we watched. Anyway, he started watching the steel player on the Carl Smith show, and he had an electric steel, no paddles. So he started playing the dobro. Just doing on the dobro, he'd be
yeah.
filling in when I was singing. So, of course, my parents would haul us down anytime company came or friends.
Oh, yeah.
You got to hear them play, but we were quite shy. We didn't want to do that, but we did it. My father played too, but he wasn't as much of a musician as my mother. And, of course, my mother's family, her brothers played and sang, and her sisters. And my dad's first cousin, he had his own band in Woodstock.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Al Byers. I actually just found the 45 he made in 1963 when Patsy Cline, Cowboy Copas, and Hawkshaw Hawkins died in the plane crash. He wrote a song. He put it on a 45. So he was in the business That's a long great. Time. Okay. So he influenced me too.
Oh, yeah. Now, did you guys grow up right in Broadhagen, or were you out in the country? Or?
No, our address was actually RR1 Dublin, which was about 4.5 miles straight north of Dublin.
Okay.
Then the next little town would be Broadhagen to the east. So we grew up just outside on a small hobby farm, about 12 acres. And we had like a cow and a couple of pigs and a few chickens, okay. whatever. Actually, we had a very good upbringing. We had very good parents, and we were taught respect. And I think we were very fortunate. And unfortunately, my mother was only 58 when she passed of a stroke.
Yep.
So that was tough for everybody in the family. That was in 1983. I also was influenced by a gentleman by the name of Earl Fries. When I was about 5 or 6, my parents and my great aunt, who played in her own little band, they took me up to Broadhagen, and on this float or wagon was the Silver Bar Ranch Gang, which was Earl Fries, Mike Swan White, and a few others. I heard him singing, and I thought, oh, I would love to be able to do that. How many years later? I guess I'm singing with Earl now, and that's kind of that's really
great.
Quite an honor to be someone who influenced me.
Oh, yeah.
And his kids, Greg, he played in the band with me, and as I say, we've had some very good times with them.
I know you showed me a picture of yourself, and I think you're in high school, and you won a talent contest, and that's in early 60s?
Yeah, I was actually still in public school.
Oh, public school.
We had the annual festival. They always had the Kiwanis Festival, which is a singing, a musical festival that anyone in the school, they would pick people, the music teacher would pick who he'd want to go in. I was with a girl by the name of Joyce Rock, and he didn't think we were really that good to be going in the festival, so he took us out of it and said, no, we couldn't compete. Well, in the meantime, someone dropped out, and we were put back in again, and we won first prize. I think I got a silver dollar for that. Anyway, it was kind of fun.
Yep.
And another guy, Claire French, he was a great musician. Well, he still is a great musician. He comes out to our dances in Broadhagen, actually. Yep. And he was leader of the Broadhagen Band.
Okay.
And that was a pipe band. Pete Hintz was the leader before him, and then... Pete Hintz's daughter is actually one of the two cooking ladies that's got a lot of books out, and she's very famous for her cooking.
Wow, okay.
But anyway, Claire French got us playing, so I played the trumpet and the alto horn, the trombone, and Robert played, I think it was the alto horn and trombone as well. But we were put out to the barn when we played those because my mother couldn't handle the noise. So we did we started a little jazz band with Claire.
Good for you. Okay.
And we played on floats on a Sunday night, and people drove in and watched us. So a lot of music in my life in my younger days. And
that's great.
Which I'm happy for. I guess with Robert, he taught himself totally. He never had a lesson. And he still, to this day, he plays every day.
He's great,
He just gets better and better.
Oh, yeah. I've always admired people that can do the pedal steel because their feet, their knees, their hands, everything's kind of moving at the same time.
That's right.
There's so much stuff happening with that instrument.
I took a shot at it, trying to play it. One time, I saw Barbara Mandrell in Nashville, and she played every instrument. She went from the fiddle to steel and everything. So I thought, I can do that. I'll go to the steel. Well, I could hardly. I couldn't play a pedal steel. I think I was just playing out. It's an amazing instrument
for
to play.
I just love standing beside him when he's playing. It's because we can kind of play off each other a little bit. And
very
the leads
few steel players sing and play, and then will play their own breaks. Robert sings, plus he does his own breaks in a lot of them, along with you, of course, or the lead player.
Yep.
That's something that takes a lot of, that really does. It's kind
for
of
sure.
unique. So,
all right, here's Diane's brother, Robert. He's playing the theme song for Hobby's Search for Talent on the steel.
Live from the Drayton Arena, Schneider's Foods presents the 10th annual Search for Talent contest.
And I guess when I took my music lessons, one of the first shows I did, the music instructor rented a schoolhouse, and the parents paid 25 cents each to come out, and we put on a show. And it was Bruce Pulsifer, Henry's son, and himself, and myself. And I had to tell you, I was so nervous, I didn't even eat. I could not eat before I went to the show. I was just butterflies.
Just shaking.
And the first song I sang was Once a Day.
Okay.
Still today, I'm doing that song.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of my go-to song is Once a Day.
And I think you're 13, because you normally mention you're 13.
I was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
When you found somebody new, I thought I never would forget you, for I thought then I never could. But time has taken all the pain away. Oh, lucky me, I'm down to crying once a day. Once
from Wellesley, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio, Waterloo.ca.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
So that's sort of like the official start of Diane's career.
That's right. I'd come to Kitchener in 1966 to work for Bell Canada.
Okay.
So that was really what happened. Is my cousin played bass, Doug Herget, and Robert had his lap steel. Well, he had a steel, an actual electric steel he played. And I was on guitar, and we went as a trio.
Okay.
And our first booking, I believe, is like 1966 in Seaforth at a wedding. Then Doug, he knew there was a talent contest in Wellesley, so he entered me. And it was run by Hoppy from the local radio station.
Okay.
So he put my name in. I come down and went to the talent contest. I believe that was about 1967 before the contest was on. I got up and sang and everything was over. And at the end of the night, Hoppy came over and said, here's $2. And I said, oh, did everybody get paid? He said, no, you won. And nowadays, $2, and the prize money in the talent shows went up to $1,000. I still laugh. I think $2. So anyway, that started me. Then
that's great. Good for you.
Yeah. After that was done, Hoppy called several days later, and he was looking for a backup band.
Okay.
That time he was playing with the Otter Binds. They were
really?
A great band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the Otter
Binds.
Jim.
That's right.
Probably. That's her son, Jim.
Yeah.
I like Jim.
I've
played along with Jim, too, and he's a great guy. And his dad, of course, and I really had a lot of respect for them. But Hoppy was looking for a band. He wanted to start talent shows. So he called and said, could you be a backup band? Well, I had to, of course, discuss with everyone, and they said, sure. And we started out, our first booking was the Maryhill Commercial Hotel in Maryhill.
Great. Okay, yeah.
Paul Weber now has it.
Yep.
I had already started at Bell Canada. A lot of Bell people were my followers.
Yeah.
And they would come out at 5 o'clock and sit on the windowsills to hope they could get in and get a seat.
So it was that packed?
It was packed. And you're a lot kidding? Of them never got in. It was fun. People started throwing coins up. Like okay. I said, well, could you throw dollar bills? And they don't hurt my guitar as much, but that didn't happen. We played out there quite a few times at the commercial and always packed. Always, always.
Yep.
Back in those days,
yep.
The halls were packed. After we did a few gigs here and there, we started these talent shows, I believe, in about 1968. Our first winner, Gary Petrick, ended up in our band as our drummer.
Oh, okay, that's great.
It was all good.
So it's the talent wasn't just for singers. Anybody that played an instrument or sang probably could get up.
Step dance.
Really? Okay.
Played the fiddle. George Lounsbury went in. He played the guitar. His cousin played the guitar. Also, Johnny Givens ended up in our band. After he won, April 24th, 1971.
Wow. I can't believe you can remember that.
He sounds like a kid.
Yeah.
I have to laugh.
Yeah.
And Gary Petrick, he was another Jim Reeves. I loved having Gary play as well.
I'd like to try another one, which is, again, also a song done both by Jim Reeves and by Charlie Pride. And it's called I Know One. When all
as years go by and people, you know, lose interest and then they don't want to play anymore or they do whatever.
Yeah, your life just changes.
So. Yes, exactly. So anyway, that's how that all happened. And then into the early 70s, it got really interesting because then talent shows just got bigger and better. And
the neat thing is you've seen people right from their start, like you've talked about your start in music, but you've sort of seen their start too, like...
That's
I know even Jamie Warren, I think, was one person that you...
Yes, he
you
won.
Sort of backed up.
Jamie might have even been in Wellesley.
Wellesley, okay.
He was in like 73. Jamie won the contest, and he sang Texas in My Rearview Mirror. I had never heard this song, but it was a popular song. I just hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, and again, you guys have to learn this really quickly then, right?
Well, the people would come out to audition... And I think at the end, we started asking them to come out and do one practice because they'd be throwing at us. But there were rules. There were rules that you had to be over 16. You had to sing a country song. If you did your own song, you may not get a lead or a break, depending if we knew the song. Because it was just too hard. I would interview on an average of 25 to 30 people a night at the TV station. And that was right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they went right through to 1981 from 1968. So
you're by interviewing, you mean you have to kind of audition them yourself
and yes.
before they get they have to get through you first before,
they
can
got
get
to the next step.
Okay, wow.
I wasn't always the most popular person in the world.
Well, that'd be high stress even just doing that.
And they would come out and I would sit and interview them and I would tape them and listen to them. Here's how it worked. Hoppy had the radio station, the advertising, and the promoting of everything. So we had a good voice to get these things out to the people.
Yeah.
And he'd advertise that the prize is going to be, one was $800 first, $300 second, $100 third. There was three winners on every show, including the final. Randy Satchel, another one, he won a talent show there too.
Moving right along in our 10th annual Search for Talent contest here in the Drayton Arena, friends. We'd like you to make welcome another young fella who, well, not doesn't live too far from here. Contestant number 13 tonight, Randy Satchel from Mitchell. Let's welcome Randy with a nice hand.
Thank you.
There's just so many people I met.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And in between all of that, like I say, they went on from about 70. 1968 was the first one because Gary was in our band by then and he had won the one show. And then they went right through to 1981 and radio personalities, Dan Fisher.
Oh, I remember Dan Fisher, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Farrell. Bob Bertina was a judge as well, and Harold and Norma Blake from Schneider's, Gord Simpson from Schneider's. Schneider sponsored it. These people come out and they were judges. And so it was all interesting.
And you're doing this all at night and you're working at Bell during the day?
That's right.
You must be.
I played
exhausted.
About 100 bookings at one time a year, including Harry's Place in Guelph, which is next to the Choo Choo Stop. We were playing hotels three nights a week. And I was doing 100 and some bookings and still working at Bell during the day.
Oh, you must have been exhausted.
Well, it was tiring, but I was young.
Yep.
It wasn't work to me. It was fun.
Yeah. And your car is probably always totally loaded with equipment. And
well, I had a trailer.
Okay.
Right from day one, Diane and the Country Cavaliers to Diane and the Cavaliers, I had a trailer to pull the equipment. I met a lot of entertainers even here because we did, we fronted a lot of shows at the auditorium, like, first one was Merle Haggard.
Oh, wow.
I almost forgot about it. It was in the 60s. Then we fronted George Jones and Tammy Wynette. I met them, and George Jones actually gave my fiddle player one of his little bridges to put on his fiddle, or a mute.
Yeah. Mute, okay, yeah.
Yeah, to put on his fiddle. So he never forgot that, Ken Bowles. Kitty Wells did a show at KCI.
Yeah.
That one wasn't very successful. I think 40 people showed up. But anyway, I always say I bought her swimming pool. However, and then Wolf Carter was one of the first ones.
Yep.
And Carl and Pearl Butler. And this is another thing. Talk about stress. I don't know how we did it, but they would say, well, you're going to be backing up Wolf Carter. Pardon? And what are we going to be doing? Well, we don't know what he's going to be doing. And he'd come into the show and tell us the song. And then Hop says, well, I know the one song is going to be Love Not Round My Lariat. And I said, pardon? I didn't know his stuff.
Yeah.
So we'd get listening to his songs and we had to just play off.
That's really, that's kind of what I was getting at with the talent show where you're just on your toes because you have to.
It was stressful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. And sometimes we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we just, you know, laugh it off. And
that's the big thing I've found over the years is just to have a good time. And if somebody made a mistake, you never glare at them or never give them a dirty look. You just have fun and keep moving ahead.
Very true.
Yep.
And the biggest part of our music are the people who come to listen. Without the band, I always felt my band was what made me is what I, you know, and so I always really, really appreciated anybody that played and how they could, you know, back me up because everybody kind of points like, you're running out. No, I'm not. It takes a group.
Yeah. Oh,
and you have to be a bond to get a very good sound.
Yeah,
and that's what, like George Lounsbery said that, you know, he said there's certain things, and when you can tell when the musicians are tight, and they, I don't mean tight from drinking, I mean tight as a sound.
Oh yeah.
And I've had some very good people play in the band, and I can't believe the years have just gone flew by.
Yeah. Well, even just preparing for this interview, I know you've gone through photo albums and got a lot of cassette tapes, so it must be bringing back a lot of great memories. over the years.
Yes, and things I'd forgotten. Yeah. I hadn't realized how many people I hadn't, like, that were participated in the talent contest, like Gerald Davidson, Randy Satchel, of course, Gary Petrick, and Johnny Givens, but so many, many more. Eric Traplin.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's a cute story with Eric. He told me, and I'm finding this out after. I think Al Widmeyer even said he was in the talent contest. I'm not sure, but this is kind of cute because Eric Traplin, he told me he was in the talent contest. And I didn't even remember.
Yeah, and he's known for more like children's music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never knew he was in it, really. I guess I'd forgotten. And he said to me, well, don't you remember? He said, I went up and I said, how did I do okay? Because I said, did you win? He said, no. But he said, you told me I should have. But I found out after you told everybody that. Well, Eric reminds me of that. He's funny.
And it's funny because we both, like your band and Eric, we both kind of finished off the Blue Moon when they closed.
That's right.
He was in the lounge part.
And I went over and did it too. I like Eric. He's such a good guy and such a busy man, I know.
Diane just mentioned Johnny Givens, which was in her band and also on the talent show. Here he is playing Orange Blossom Special.
Like it's a mad cow. We're heading for Harrisburg. Put on the floor, go, let's get rolling.
One of the things my mother, and I, as I said, I attribute my mother to a lot of my music. She said to me, I had a chance when I first started the talent contests. Two guys came to the door and said, we would like you to come on the road and sing with us. You would be our main singer. And I said, I'd have to think about it. I couldn't. So I went, at that time I was going home on the weekends to my parents. And I told my mother, I said, I started Bell Canada. I had a good job. But I had this chance to go on the road. And, of course, at that time, music was, you know, I just loved playing music.
Yep.
And my mother said, I just want you to remember one thing. All the glitters on stage is not gold. Because, you know, they wear the glittery outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was big. I still do. Anyway, she said, they live out of a suitcase. And she said, if you can handle that, fine. But she said, I think you should just stay at Bell and
do your local music.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's what I did. She put me in the right direction, for sure.
So Diane pulled out her photo album, and it's got snapshots of all the different people that were playing on the barn dance. Diane mentioned Wayne Otterbein. But Lynn Rustworm, which passed away just a couple years ago, right?
That's right. That's right.
But there's so many other names here.
And his son Lance, who is in charge of the Elmira bandstand now.
That's great.
And, yes, a lot of people... starting, I got to mention Doug Dietrich. He's just been another inspiration in music for sure. Thanks to Doug, I got into the barn dances. I played on Wingham TV in 1967 on Circle 8 Ranch. And then Doug had invited me to the barn dances, and I've done many. And I was on shows like with Earl and Martha Haywood. Also,
I see Bill Murray.
Lyndon Bill Murray.
Excellent.
Yes. And Randy Satchel, of course. And I've been on, like, Paul Weber, many times with Paul on the barn dances.
Wow.
And Hugh Elder is the one, and his daughter Linda, they were on the barn dance too. Hugh Elder was the one that came to Maryhill to the commercial hotel that I was so nervous because I knew he was on the TV. he was there listening to me.
Yeah.
Where I was always listening to him. Okay. That made me nervous a bit. And Mike Sloan-White, of course, was on at some point. Doug Dietrich, of course, his band backs up the Barn Dances. Doug Dietrich and the Barn Dance Band. There's a lot on there, too, that L. Alderson and Grant Haywood's the drummer. Then we have the lead player. His dad played in my band, which I forgot about.
I can't believe how many, all the amazing people that you had play there.
That's right. We have Marie Bottrell. I've done shows with Marie. Kenny Meadows, I played with him. Like, we just did a couple shows together, I think, at one point. He played the drums.
Yep.
Gerald Davidson, he's another one that's... Freddie yep. Lewis. Freddie's dad apparently played drums. He's with the Barn Dance Band.
Okay.
And I didn't know Fred Lewis's dad at one time played drums in our band. But he was a fill-in one night.
Well, with 50-plus years of playing, your excuse if you forget forget a night or two.
I just can't think of all yeah. the people, but...
Oh, Shane Goosey is there?
Yeah, Shane Goosey, and as I said, Larry Rick Mercy's Jones. Been a big... he helped me with actually the last CD
okay.
Larry did, and helped me with some of it, getting it put together. And George Lonsberry, just a great, great guy,
oh, yeah.
too. And George has played many times with us, and I just love... playing.
Oh, he's got such a great, smooth guitar.
He is such a good musician yep. and friend.
We'd like you to welcome from Preston, Cambridge, a couple of young fellas, George and Dale Lonsberry. Let's make them welcome tonight. George, are you going to do the talking here tonight?
Sure.
Is that your brother or cousin over there in the drums?
Brother.
Your brother, and you're going to do a little picking, are you?
Yep, Chet Atkins style.
Chet Atkins style. Is he your favorite guitarist?
As far as I'm concerned, he's the world's best.
Well, he's pretty doggone good. George, what are you going to pick tonight?
That's a Freight Train and Back the Old Smoky Mountains.
Okay, here's a couple of tunes from George and Dale Lonsberry, and these boys are contestants number 5 tonight. George doing the picking and Dale on drums. We hope you enjoyed George and Dale tonight.
Hi, I'm Ken Crawford from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
As I said, these people at one point or another I had been on the Barn Dance with, but again, going back, I can't remember all of the people because there's just so many.
Oh, for sure.
And Lindsay Beckett, she's another one. She's all over the place, but she was just recently playing from Come From Away in Toronto.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and
wow.
She's been on the Barn Dance with me.
Okay.
There's just so many
memories.
Well,
so.
Barn Dance, I've been doing, well, this one is 2002, and I've been on multiple times since then.
Okay. Is this up by
This is Mitchell.
I was going to say close to Goderich in the Blythe or something.
Where the Plyne match was. Again, there's another thing. We played how many Plyne matches.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these people were there. And the Mightons, I see Danny Mighton on here. His family I've known for a long time and are friends. So, yeah, so Mitchell was one of them. Wellesley was one. We played one up near, I believe it was near Staff or Mitchell, another one.
Okay, yeah.
So, and we were just recently booked to do the Drayton Festival, and it had to be canceled because of COVID.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yes.
Well, that's great you're getting invited to this, because I can see just the quality of the players. Like, you're dealing with stellar performers, but the band behind them are with guys like Doug Dietrich would be fantastic.
And a lot of these people I listened to when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. And Jim Swan, he's one of the MCs. He's very popular. He used to be on Wingham TV as well, and he's just a great MC.
It's amazing how Wingham built this whole franchise almost, right? Like, this for a small town. I know just from talking to Grant Haywood, like, people from Nashville would go to Wingham. Like, they would actually show up to be on the barn dance as well. Like, I think George Jones, for example, went to Wingham.
Yes. Well, they would host these shows.
Yeah.
We actually had one hosted with Hank Snow at the Evergreen Hotel in Kitchener.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And he didn't show. No show George.
Yeah.
And that's kind of funny. But yes, and so you're right. Like, these things, but it usually takes a radio personality who can get the voice out to the people of what's happening to get these shows together. Like, a lot of them at the auditorium, they weren't arranged by Hoppy himself. They would be arranged by a guy out of Nashville who was the manager, would call Hoppy and say, can we do a show? And then they would get it organized.
Okay.
And it would all come here.
That's great.
But it really...
And, yeah, it's way before Facebook and stuff. Like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Like, now you just put the word out on Facebook or whatever, or Instagram, and it just gets out, where back then it would be a real struggle, so...
I have to credit my family for their support. Of course, my brother, who's still playing in the band. But my sister Judy, my oldest sister, she put together all these books for me. They're just entertaining to look back and see who was all involved.
Yeah.
Everything from talent shows to any... I have birthday parties about every 10 years, believe it or not. She put together all these books. And Judy and Doug, her husband, their house became our auditioning center.
Oh, okay.
So the talent was...
Yep.
Her front door was a swinging door with people coming through to audition for the next
show. You're kidding. Okay.
And that was in the 80s, because we couldn't always get the studio, because they were taping and everything in there, like the Walters family and them. They'd be taping at the studio, so we couldn't always get it at night.
Okay.
So we ended up going to my sister's and doing the auditions. They were instrumental. And my sister and my parents, my mom and dad and Doug, they run all the kitchens at the talent shows. They would run the kitchen selling hot dogs and hamburgers. And
I think it was Judy that said, if she ever sees another steak out again, that's too soon or something, right?
Yeah, she can't even stand the smell of them.
Yeah, I don't know if that was because of Schneider's. Did they give you free steakettes or something?
No, they had to go get all the food, but they went and got the wrappers and everything from Schneider's.
Oh, okay.
So their hot dogs come in a wrapper.
Yeah, that's right.
But what sold it was the fried onions. It had nothing to do with the hamburger or hot dog. They wanted fried. One of the guys come up and he said, I just want a burger with fried onions on if I could have it. You know, like, it was crazy, but that was a lot of work for them to do that. But that, as I said, we worked as a family. Yeah. Everybody pitched in, and it all went smooth. How could you run a show for 68 to 81?
Yeah, and this is weekly too, right?
This is weekly.
Wow.
But it only ran, we only had like, we'd have like 7 shows, and then you'd have a final in June. Then you were done until the fall.
Yeah, I get you, okay, yeah.
And then we'd run 7 more shows, and then...
Okay, just to keep that going would be...
What was hard? Picking 8 people out of 30. And putting them on. And one special person I forgot, too, is Johnny Gibbons' nephew, Thomas Wade.
Oh,
he was Tommy Barker.
You're kidding.
And Thomas Wade was one of the first ones, too, that was in the talent contest. Yep. I believe he won. And just a nice guy, too.
Yeah, I didn't recognize the relationship.
Yeah, so him, Jamie Warren, and, you know, a few of them have really gone and become professional artists. Yeah.
But even everybody else that, like, you've talked about that, maybe they're not a household name, but as a musician, you sure know their names.
Well, the Gousset family, Shane and Nicole and the parents. I used to go to their place, and I'd be playing guitar with Jim, the father.
Yeah.
He'd be on the piano. during Oktoberfest, and the kids would be sitting at the top of the stairs listening to us, and then look what they've done now.
Oh, yeah.
With, you know, Western Swing Authority. Amazing, they're just amazing. They certainly know their stuff, and
yeah, for sure.
Great people. We had a lot of good times with them, and we played with them even at a cottage. They come up to my friend's cottage.
And that's great. During COVID, they've had a bunch of really cool watch parties.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
4 o'clock cocktail hour or something?
Yeah, something like that.
That isn't it? But 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock somewhere?
Yeah.
Cocktail
hour? I can't.
Stacy, she's a great singer. COVID has really hurt us musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And I miss playing, and like you said, you miss. I know we all do. I think we're all in a bit of a shock from it because we were going so much. Like, we had quite a few bookings ahead of us, and just
nothing.
Like that, wiped out. Like, and you know that yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You had even, you know, a lot of bookings at open mics and that.
The funny thing for me is I can't hardly stay awake after 10 o'clock now. So my whole body is changed. And before, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was just getting ready.
Well, you know, it isn't too bad for our group
because
we have a lot of our bookings from 7:30 to 11:30.
But I just find, like, now that I haven't played for 6 months, I've gotten to, used to going to bed at 10 o'clock. And
I know.
So to go back to playing all the time is going to be almost tough.
We'll just go at it slowly.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get ourselves, because it's going to be practice for us, because we just know so many songs in our band. As far as the talent shows, as I say, the only, like, it was a lot of me having to pick the people out, and sometimes they didn't make it and I wasn't the most popular.
Oh, yeah.
Or if they didn't win from the judging, which I had no part of.
Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. But I think the one thing that sticks out that we did have was that Hoppy got sick. I guess it was the early 90s. He got very ill. He had a torn aorta.
Oh, wow.
So he was rushed to London.
Yeah.
And we had a talent show on the Saturday night. And wow, we were like, well, now what do we do?
Because he was the MC.
Of course, he had it all
together.
Bob Bertina stepped up from the radio station.
Okay.
And Bob Bertina actually was the mayor of Hamilton and just resigned a couple of years
ago.
Really?
Okay.
And Bob Bertina was a great guy. He stepped in and it just runs so smoothly. It was so good that
you'd have a couple hundred people in the crowd or something?
You'd get anywhere from 150 to 300, depending on the size.
Yeah.
Usually about 200. Well, halls were packed. They were trying to sneak in is what they were doing, but that, you know, they always got caught somewhere.
It'd be almost good to get that going again if there's... It's an amazing thing, but...
Well, you know what? It takes a lot of organization.
Oh, yeah.
And you need the radio. You need the advertising. Because in the arenas, like Binghamton, we did a whole set of shows at Binghamton. The final show would be nothing to have 1,000 to 2,000 people, depending. The arena, everything went to the arena on the final show. But then the radio station had to haul all their equipment out. Everything was taped live.
Yep.
If you made a mistake, there's no cutting it out.
That must have been so much adrenaline flowing for you, though, just to...
Oh, I loved it.
And, you'd be at work. All that's on your mind is the show coming up that night, right?
I guess I never thought too much about it. I guess there was so much when you did your auditions and have the people come in. And then you write down their name, and then you had to have everything from them so that you could call them. We had one guy come in, he was from California. I'm listening to these shows now. I have the tapes right back to the 70s. And I cannot believe what I'm hearing and who I'm hearing and how good some of them were.
Oh, I bet.
When it comes right down to leaving, I just can't walk away.
Another one I didn't talk about very much, and I do want to mention, is Elaine. She was a big part of the band. She came to our band, I think, in about 2003. First, we did duo, trio, okay, whatever. We went from two to five piece, whatever people wanted. But Elaine and I did a lot, too. And she's from the Debus Sisters. Like, oh, yeah. And I've known her since she was seven.
They were on the talent show, I think, way back. And they cut about four songs. They had four little teams.
Yes, they had very recorded. Good. Yes, they did. They had. I have actually got some of that music. And that was the days of Gary Buck.
Okay.
He was involved. And he was the one that got them. And they were good. Very good singers. Like, the three of them were on the, I believe it was the three of them that were at the Reformatory.
Yeah.
And I really got to know Elaine, and her and I did family reunions together. She played the accordion back then.
Oh, wow, okay.
And we had a lot of time together, and I love her singing, and she's such a good harmonizer. And, so Elaine and I, she was 15 years when she retired in 2018. And we still ask if she can help us, and she is gracious enough to lend us her talents when we need her.
Yeah.
Hey, here's Elaine with Diane and the Cavaliers doing Patsy Cline classic, I Fall to Pieces.
I fall to pieces each time I see you again. I fall to pieces. How can I be just your friend? You want me to act like we've never kissed. You want me to forget, pretend we've never met. But each time and I fall to pieces. I fall to pieces each time someone speaks your name. I fall to pieces. Time only adds to the flame. You tell me to find someone else to love, someone who loved me too, the way you do. But each time I go out with someone new, you walk by and I fall to pieces. You walk by and I fall to pieces.
Chris Arid is now playing, and I had 12 years with Chris previously in the 80s, 90s, and then she took some time off, and then that's when Elaine came in, and Todd Moser was in, of course, too, and Gary.
Yeah, you've gone through a lot of different changes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I had my longest stay of members was during the early 70s, right up to the 80s, and then it started changing, and then you get another set of members, then you get into the 90s. Yep. But you think, I went from the 60s to the 2000s, right? And yet, I haven't had as many changes as a lot of bands.
No. And Chris is a great player. I know she's a pretty strong keyboard player, and she actually plays banjo. I don't know if she still does or not, but...
We're going to get her going on that.
Yeah, and she's a good bass player, too.
Excellent. So. Chris broke her shoulder, and we had to fill in, and Gary was there right away, and, canceled one of his own... engagements, not engagements, but I guess he was going out of town.
Yeah, he's going on holidays. He actually postponed his holidays.
And come to play with us, and I hope to play. I'll get a chance again to have him play, I'm sure.
And George Lounsbery also, like you've mentioned him before from the barn dances and everything, but he also stepped up and helped with the sound and
everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Michael couldn't do it. George stepped up, and George, he helped with our last CD. And his family through the years have been a big inspiration to me too. His dad was just one of the most wonderful guitar players. And Chet Atkins style, jazz, blues. Okay. His dad was fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was making 8-track tapes for me to put on the bus to drive to Nashville.
Wow, okay.
And of us singing in that. And his dad was, they were just great. They had the barn. Are they still
have
the barn?
Oh, that's an amazing barn, yeah.
And George is himself is just, as I said, he's helped me with a lot of things. If I need something, I know to call George. He's usually got it or can get it for me. Yeah.
It's just amazing how much he knows about sound and everything. And
yeah, so we, I've been fortunate to meet all these really good people. And I've known George since he was, well, he was in the talent contest, probably 17.
Well, okay.
And I've known his dad that long. Like, I went, they've got a barn of memories with all the pictures of everyone.
Sure.
And, of course, he's lead player for Larry Mercy.
Okay.
And Al Alderson is on bass, and he's with the Barn Dance Band, too. So.
Well, and they're also involved with Paul Weber's Thursday nights, I think, too, right?
Yes, he's a busy guy. He helps out Ben. So, as I said, there was lots of people I've met through all of these different things. Kent started with me when he was 15. That was probably 70.
Yeah.
Because he was 67 or 15. Yeah, he was born.
Yep.
Yeah, he started with me. But Kent had been playing with me, my drummer Kent, he had been with me since he was probably about 12. As I said, we would go to the Shelburne Fiddling Contest because we'd support Johnny Givens. And then a girl that taught me, Kathy Ferguson, she was youngest fiddle champion. She was 12.
Oh, wow.
So she taught me some lessons.
Yeah.
I don't play fiddle well, but I play it. But anyway, we would go to Shelburne and support Johnny.
Yeah.
And then everybody would be there. And I'm talking like you mentioned the one fiddle player. He was with South Mountain. Donnie Reed.
Yeah.
Donnie was a great friend of the Ferguson family. So I played with Donnie Reed when he was about how old? He probably doesn't even remember that, but he was only young, like Kathy.
Yeah. Okay.
And his family, they played, you know. So we'd go up there, and I'd go on the float in the parade with Kathy and play. But we'd go up to Shelburne, and Kent would follow me around with a snare drum. Wherever we found a fiddle player playing, we would stop, and he'd play, and I'd play. That's, like, I always dressed him as a cowboy since he was, 3 years old. But he'd be sitting with a guitar, and then
he got
the drums.
Okay.
So he just continued on. And he pretended he'd be playing when he's like 3 years old. He'd be playing the guitar, and he's still pretending.
And then he officially joined when he was 15 or something?
He was 15. He wasn't old enough to be in the hotel, so we were kind of waiting to get him old enough to go into a hotel because he had to be 17, I think, at that time.
And he sort of got a fake mustache on him at some point? Or?
I tried to think the first booking he played, but...
Because I guess he could do the dances and stuff, maybe.
Yeah, he did. He played with his... I guess he was probably 17 before.
Okay.
Oh, time flies. Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing. Okay.
His birthday is today, Steve.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday, Kent.
Yeah, big birthday today.
Wow, okay. Hopefully he was golfing. It was a beautiful day, so...
Well, he was going to take off, but with COVID and him being in the school board, he couldn't.
Okay, well, maybe
anyway,
the weekend he can celebrate on.
Oh, yeah, he will, I'm sure.
Okay.
Oh, jealous me and careless you, the odds were just too great. Well, I couldn't take these lonely nights, you made me sit and wait. Well, I thought I'd seen the last of you since you walked out of sight. But instead I see you in my dreams each night. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in. Well, I'm sitting here wishing me I had your love again. And I never even asked you where you've been. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in. Share your company. I said, don't come around at all if you want more than me. But sitting here alone,
moon, I can't deny the flame that burns. But I'd gladly take you back on any terms. Oh, the keys in the box, come on in. Well, I'm sitting here wishing you I had your love again. And I never even asked you where you've been. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in. Oh, the keys in the mailbox, come on in.
So there's lots more to come because all we've covered so far, I guess we've hit up to 1981. You know, that's still 40 years to go of talking about Diane Dittner. So,
wow. So, can you imagine? Yeah. 40 more years. I can probably remember what I did back then and when you asked me next week or last yep. week or 2 weeks ago.
There's, yeah. You know, I'm excited about this because there's so much stuff that you've done. So
yes, and I've met so many wonderful people and... these, like I say, they become friends after a while, and I'm sure yeah. you miss them too, but I really miss seeing the people that come out.
Oh, yeah.
I've called the odd one and yeah. touch base, but this is one thing I really, truly miss with this COVID is that
for sure.
we haven't, our faithful followers, we haven't been able to see.
Yeah.
One guy emailed me and said, can you not find a parking lot or some kind of a place that you could play a park and we could come and see you? And I'd help you organize it. But here's the scenario or the problem is if people gather in more than 100 people and that would happen if you started playing music yep. outside.
The police could charge
that's
you.
Right.
Yeah.
You would get a fine from the health department like you would. It just isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And I understand. I mean, it's a good idea for him to say that. But it's like Elmira Bandstand. They can't have them because the gathering of people and you know how close they are together. This would never...
Yeah, no, it wouldn't fly, that for wouldn't. Sure. All right, stay tuned for future episodes with Diane Dittner. We still have 40 more years of music and history to cover from 1981 all the way to the present time. I'm excited about this. I hope you are too. We're going to finish off the hour with Diane and the Cavaliers playing Overlook the Orchid. Until next time, it's Steve Todd, and thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ.
The orchid is a flower that blooms so tenderly to thrill the fairest lady of the land. It plays beside a blushing rose, that rose does not compare. But how was such as I to understand? I overlooked an orchid while searching for a rose. The orchid that I overlooked was you. The rose that I was searching for has proved to be untrue. The orchid now I find, my dear, was you. But the orchid's still the same. I'm alone to face these lonely years. I didn't see the orchid, I was searching for the rose. Now I pay the price with bitter tears. I overlooked an orchid while searching for a rose. The orchid that I overlooked was you. to be untrue. The orchid now I find, my dear, was you. The orchid now I find.